This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Africa, and I got to be honest, my heart really was in another place in the protest, but yeah. I've never really been in a movement. I couldn't lie to you. That was about my only opportunity. I think it was 87 or 88.
I couldn't turn it off either, and it wasn't because I didn't want to. It was because I felt like I might miss something important. You know what I mean? And I say that because as this thing escalated and you start to see it happen more and more around the country, and especially here in our city, you know, I didn't know what the escalation was going to do. Friday night, I remember Michelle and I sitting there after the show. We had talked briefly right after we got off the air. We did our Dukes and Bell, you know, tailgate at home, you know, had my dinner and was chilling with a cocktail and, you know, was starting to watch the coverage amp up a little bit. And as we got to, I don't know, 8:30 or whatever, she said to me, "This thing's a powder keg. Like, all you need is one thing to happen and this thing's going to explode." And I was like, yeah, this is not looking good. And so we're sitting there watching. And then I started getting some messages from people that were either there or downtown or just, you know, various folks that are saying, "Are you watching this?" And right about that moment, you know, you see a crowd start running. And, you know, Cedric the Entertainer, when he used to do comedy, he doesn't do a whole lot of that anymore. He's now, you know, TV star, movie star. But he had a very funny joke in Kings of Comedy where he talked about, you know, if you're in a theater and you get up and you just start running out, everybody's going to follow you, even though they have no idea what the hell is going on. And I think you saw a lot of that this weekend where, you know, people are trying to report on this and the press is trying to keep their distance. And all of a sudden, you see a mob of people running and you don't know what's going on. And you're like, what are they running for? But it happened to be, you know, the cops were chasing down that kid or a guy that had thrown a rock into the window of CNN. And this was Friday night. And that's when I felt like I couldn't turn it off. And I found myself all weekend that way as I was trying to communicate things. You know, I didn't want to say anything that I thought was not necessary because I did want to see where this was going. But I will say this, man, you know, I sat at home and I thought about how do we, Mike, you and I have talked about this, move this discussion forward. I did a little self-reflecting, you know, about have I done enough? You know, what else do I need to do? I examined my own actions because, you know, sometimes when you are afforded the opportunity to not have to deal with things that some people deal with or some communities, you find yourself distanced from it. You know, like when you pass somebody who's been stopped by the cops and you go, "Damn, that's kind of harsh, dude. You know, why are they treating them like that?" But yet you keep driving. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people were looking at themselves this weekend. And I know I was and going, am I doing everything as an individual to help people I'm living alongside of, no matter what color they are? I know this is affecting, you know, marginalized communities a lot more, and certainly, you know, African-American men. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting there and reflecting myself. So I don't know. I was just curious if you turned it off, because some people hit me up and said, "Dukes, I can't watch anymore because it's just stressing me."
I was wigging out because my old office was like sort of like the epicenter where things went off the rails in Buckhead. And I was texting with Big Hugh, with Hugh Douglas, because he lives in Buckhead. We were going back and forth around 1 in the morning on Friday night asking what was he hearing, what was going down. Because I've got friends that are retired law enforcement that have the scanner, so I'm getting the information. It's coming out, you know, in real time, and they're hitting me up, and I'm freaking out. But, yeah, you know, you're right. There was times over the weekend where I'm just – I probably – my voice is a little hoarse. I smoked way too many cigars. I literally just sat out on my balcony watching all this go down, watching the police lights and the fire engines and everything, just kind of in a daze. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's, and the phrase that comes up, and this is something I said, you know, we're going to talk about today. You know, if you're a white person like me, and I talked about my upbringing, you know, my father was a cop. He had an African-American partner for a cop. So, I mean, I felt like I was a little bit more open-minded than some other people I grew up with. But then you sit there and you go, well, what can, you just said it, what can I do? You know, you and I have done various charity stuff and, you know, nonprofit stuff here in town. You know, we've done events where we read to kids in the inner city. We've done work where we try to help homeless shelters. We do cancer charities, you know, and you say to yourself, what can we do? And that's why I was talking to Carl off the air the other day. And I was like, can we sponge off of Ricardo Allen and try to get some outreach with the cops and kids? You know, one thing is maybe try to get involved with APD or Fulton County, because when I was a kid, you had the Police Athletic League. And I know, I think it was Brian Jordan talked about that. He tweeted it out earlier. So, I mean, because, you know, I joked around. You hear the phrase white privilege, and some people go, they get totally indignant. And I'm like, look, I can't help the way I was born. Here's how I was born. I was born into a suburban white household. I went to a high school that had one black guy, you know. And then, as I said earlier, I'm not trying to make excuses or try to. You've been listening.
We don't get to choose those things, Mike.
Here's your life journey. Do you go this way? Do you go that way? Do you try to be a helpful person? You try to help people out? You try to be a source for good? I mean, we all have our self-interest. We all want to retire and help get paid a mortgage and take care of bills and get your kids off to college. In some cases, me, I'm just, you know, I'm a loosey-goosey guy. But I do think that, you know, there are people like me, and you and I've talked about it. There are turns in your life. I had some really tough spots. But a guy doesn't want to hear that, you know, because they look – and you feel bad because you feel you can't get empathy from the other side. Like, you're just another guy with your head in the clouds, and I'm not that guy. And there's a lot of people like me that are not those people. You know, we got a lot of people that want to do something. It's, you know, how do we do it? And that's one of those things, hopefully, in the months to come, we can do on this show, because I hope it gets better. I'm afraid – I don't know where this summer is going to go in America, brother. Yeah. I hope that cooler heads will prevail.
Coming up a little bit later, I'll tell you what I think you can do. Not you, but just talking to our audience, because it is an individual thing. But I'll say this, and then we'll get to an NFL blitz. You know, again, discussions in my house, discussions with friends. I brought this up Friday, and I think it's a big part of this. Accountability is a big part of this, not just from those in the police force or those who may punish individuals in the police force who have done wrong. Because we're really talking about a relation, Mike, a relationship with our police force locally. That's what we're talking about, okay? And accountability is a big part of that. Accountability on your behalf and my behalf is also standing up and acknowledging wrongness, wrongdoings when you see it or you hear it. And I'll give you an example, okay? Just one. I got plenty. The latest examples are Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, because they're fresh in our minds. But did we forget Ferguson and Michael Brown that happened in 2014? A lot of people just looked the other way and said, that's terrible. A black kid got shot. That's where we've been. So the accountability and acknowledgement of these issues is a big part of it. And when I say this, I'm not talking about me acknowledging it. Yes, I need to, but I need you and you and you, because we're all in this together. And, you know, I said, if you are complicit and silent, that non-action leads to this stuff where people are just outraged. Because right. We feel like nobody's hearing it, and those who are hearing it are not trying to affect change. So this is a human issue, man. It really is. This is a human issue. You wouldn't want your kids, your dad, your mom, or anybody treated the way George Floyd was treated. That's a human issue. We got crooks and criminals and people who need to go to jail and people who do bad. I get that. And they deserve whatever it is that they got coming to them. But there is also a right and a wrong way to police our communities. And that's what's got to change. And if that changes, and if we can help that change, part of it, Mike, is just, again, let's stand up for each other.
Hey, and we talked about it. We've got friends in law enforcement here in Atlanta that I've known, because I've been here 22 years. I got black friends. I got white friends that are on the force. And I just read a text message from one of my buddies who just told you where his head is at, where a lot of his coworkers' heads and hearts are at. You know, but, I mean, that's the thing. And we talked about it on Friday before all this kind of hit the fan about – because my brother's a cop. You know, I've talked about it. How do you break that? You know, if there's a guy in a precinct or a guy that, you know, whether it's state police, local sheriff's department, the guy's a hothead. The forces have to be able to self-police themselves. You know, whether that's psych evaluations, and that's going to be maybe there'll be legislation on the books. You know, I mean, to weed out the dudes who shouldn't be carrying a gun and a badge. You know what I mean? That's part of it. You know, we said this, you and I were talking on Friday. There's bad teachers, there's bad doctors, and when bad cops are on the job, bad things happen. You know, how do you make something, you know, a positive change where you break the stigma? I was talking about it with my brother. You know,
more oversight. Couple guys, yeah, you well, got to yeah, have
like,
some
how
oversight.
Do you, because, you know, the guy, in the old days, it's like, well, nobody likes a rat. Oh, you know that cop's a bad guy. Nobody, you know, in a precinct, it's like, well, nobody wants to work with the guy, so they move him out. You know, it's kind of like the Catholic Church with bad priests. You know, I don't want to go down that road, but the idea being that nobody wants to deal with it, so they just kind of they stuff it under the carpet. You know, so that's something which, you know, needs to happen in all law enforcement, large, you know, large law enforcement to the tiniest, you know, two or three cops on in a county in the middle of Georgia somewhere. That all needs to have some accountability.
No doubt. More on this coming up, guys, as we share and talk with you guys. As we said, we're trying to talk through it, discuss it, as we do on this show, and help each other, hopefully, along the way. And we appreciate your comments. We really do, because it is about this with all of us being in this together. This is not a black problem. It is affecting black men, but it's not a black problem. You're seeing that. You're seeing the way things are being responded to around this country. This is a human issue. This is a problem in our country that needs to be addressed. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL yeah. Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Priority Men's Medical, for sponsoring the Blitz. No, I was going to say, I just punched it up. I had a chance to read the whole thing, but I just jumped to the Falcons. Peter King, and again, when everybody does those power rankings, so you and I will snicker when ESPN does it. But when Peter King does it, because, you know, he's not your average, you know, run-of-the-mill football writer. He's considered one of the best in the country. He's got the Falcons at 25 in the power rankings, basically saying we've had awful starts the past 2 years, and we've got an awfully tough season to the way our schedule starts off with. So he talks about with Seattle, Dallas, Chicago, and Green Bay might make that tough, and he goes on to say it's kind of surprising Arthur kept Dan Quinn after, you know, even though maybe not going knee-jerk after a 6-2, but he says doubt Arthur Blank will be as patient with another sub-500 finish.
I don't disagree. You know, I say this, and it's kind of, you know, maybe it's so far away and certainly not top of mind right now, and I get that. But we cannot start 1-4, 1-5, and be feeling good about our football team. Mm. You said it. 2-2 at the worst. Let's be 500, especially where the schedule plays out. If we do, in fact, have the hardest schedule in the NFL, which we've alluded to, that's acceptable. 1-3, not acceptable. You know, and I know you say, well, what's the big deal? It's a big deal, guys, because you will completely lose confidence in our fan base. Our fan base right now, we're on edge. You know why? Because our team has underperformed the last 2 years at the start of the season. That's put us behind the eight ball at the end. Where all of a sudden, Mike, we're winning games that don't matter, and then everybody wants us to feel good about it.
And as we know, the division is tougher. And again, if you want to talk about a knee-jerk overreaction, I read Peter King. He's got the Buccaneers at like top five.
Oh, wow.
We talked about how they should have had a better season. Now they got the GOAT. Can they protect him? Can he stay healthy? We've got a very difficult run. Peter King points out that we play Brady like twice in 15 days near the end of the season. So depending on now again, will Brady be knocked out of the year? That'd be great for us. Or are they rolling and steamrolling by the time we get there? Only time will tell.
NFL Blitz, guys, the NHL. Here's the deal. I don't know if the NFL will follow this, but in hockey, they are talking about testing, Mike, rigorous testing protocol where players are tested every evening, and then those results are obtained before they would leave for their hotel rooms the next morning. So we'll know if we have a positive test or whether the player has to quarantine as a result of the positive test. This is from the NHL, and I only bring this up to say, is this going to be the model for the NFL? How rigorously are you going to do this, and when? Are you doing it twice a week? Are you doing it on a Saturday night before a game? What are you doing?
Right. I mean, sweat and body fluids are flying. Now, again, we've talked about you got to get spit or something. You've got to get in your face, and you got to get in your lungs. But, you know, in close contact and practice, all those things we talked about, you know, that's a lot of logistics to get all that stuff done, you know, and then get the, you know, I think the biggest concern for all the players and all the sports so far is, okay, look, we're going to have some positive tests. If the numbers are where they are in the fall, then how do you account for that? What are the protocols going to be? How are we going to be able to function if that happens?
Yeah, man, I do want you to hear, coming up a little bit later, we'll let you hear it. Mike Vick was talking about Tua playing, Mike, and Fitzpatrick being down there in Miami. Mm. I want you to hear what he had to say about it coming up. Michael Vick talking about that situation. A lot of people saying they start Tua day one. Hey, Bobby asked the question on Twitter. Dukes and Bell, are you guys going to play the Coach Collins interview from over the weekend? We will today at around 6:20. If you missed it, Georgia Tech coach Jeff Collins came on our radio station 92.9 The Game over the weekend addressing these issues and what he's telling his players and how he's trying to help. It's something you don't want to miss. But coming up next, Jason Longshore. We talk MLS and Atlanta United on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On a Monday where we're talking about what's going on in Atlanta, our community, around the country, and how it's affecting us, we are also talking about what's going on in the world of sports. And as Mike and I have been saying, we're trying to get back to normal in the world of sports. Well, that means these leagues got to get going. And we thought it'd be a good chance to, a good time to talk to Jason Longshore. He is our analyst for Atlanta United, a soccer stud who we get on. And we normally have him on once a week when the season's in session. And normally it would be. Right now we'd be in the middle of an Atlanta United season. You guys know how good we look to start and the expectations for our team. But Jason, let's start first with, where are we as a league? Explain to our listeners, where are we when it comes to how far away are we from restarting and what are the issues?
Well, we thought we were really close to coming back. Felt pretty good late last week that we'd have some good news today, maybe later this week, but very soon. Last night, news broke that the league had told the ownership, or told the players' union, sorry, that it's basically a take it or leave it deal, and if it's not approved by Tuesday, that it would be a lockout situation.
Oh.
Now, today, just a little bit ago, from the Columbus Dispatch in Ohio, they have updated that MLS is sending a counterproposal to the players who had sent a counterproposal in over the weekend. It feels like some heavy negotiating tactics. It's not good. It's a bad look. People are getting riled up. There's things they have to sort out financially. There's things they have to sort out logistically. I'm hoping we still get an announcement, but the back and forth is getting pretty strong at the moment.
So more than rhetoric. I mean, this is, I mean, if you put it in odds, like a 50-50, where do you think we're going?
Well, I think we'll be back. I mean, the most important thing, and player agent Richard Motzkin told Paul Tenorio of The Athletic earlier today that, look, nobody benefits from not having MLS this season. MLS is in a position where it's growing. There's a big opportunity for the league if they're able to come back and do it safely. They don't benefit from not playing outside of not losing maybe quite as much money. They're going to lose money this season. I think any team, any sport that's coming back, if you're playing behind closed doors and you're adding all of the additional costs for testing, that's going to run in the millions of dollars. There's no way around it. You're going to lose money this season. There's a very good chance of that. With MLS, Jeff Birding in Cincinnati said that 90% of the revenues for a team is tied to match day. You don't have fans in the stands, that's a big chunk of your revenue. So you've got to find a way forward. The players don't benefit from not having a season either. You know, think of a player like an Ezequiel Barco who is trying to prepare for a move to Europe, and the European transfer market's going to be hit by this as well, but there are still teams that will have money to spend, and Ezequiel Barco, for his career, wants to play in one of the biggest teams in the world. He doesn't gain in that process by not playing this season. Nobody wins if they can't sort this out. I really hope that just frustrations are raw right now. They've gone back and forth. It sounds like the issues are manageable, but they've got to get in a Zoom room right now and get it knocked out.
Jason Longshore, our guest analyst for Atlanta United. With that said, I don't think I've asked you this. Do you like this plan in Orlando? Do you think this is what we need as far as how to get back? And what else have you heard? Were there other alternatives to this plan, or has it always been one location and then we'll go from there?
I think it's always been Orlando, because when the plan was starting to come together, you couldn't count on playing games in markets anywhere in the beginning of July. Now, that's starting to change, and it's changed very fast while this plan is moving. But just like the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, who is playing in Utah and playing a tournament in Utah, they're doing that because of the cost efficiency of doing it that way, because one of the team owners, Delroy Hansen, who owns Real Salt Lake as well, has the facilities, is putting money up to bring teams there. It makes sense for them to do it. Again, this is the reality of sports in 2020. There's going to be a lot of money lost. So when you get down to the nuts and bolts of how can you do things efficiently, you're looking at bottom lines. And is Orlando a situation where it is more cost effective to do it on top of when you started creating the plan, it was the only alternative? Those things kind of seem to line up. I do think it is a short-term option to get the season restarted. And the idea is to be back in markets. And as we're hearing, you know, there's the potential for at least reduced crowds, maybe in the fall.
Right. Jason Longshore with us, guys. You hear him along with Mike Conte on our championship Atlanta United from a year back. And these guys, Jason's dialed in. He knows what he's doing. And one thing I just want to remind listeners, you brought this up a few days ago. We didn't get the deal done necessarily, right? I mean, they agreed to start the season without a new CBA.
Right. They had an agreement in principle. They were working out some of the finer points, but they were in a good position to go forward. Well, then you have a global pandemic hit, and that kind of puts everything into, you know, pause, but then also into a different perspective. And one of the issues that has come up, and I know it's been part of the NBA discussions as well, is a clause called a force majeure clause. It's basically like an act of God clause in a contract for, you know, to get out of the contract, essentially. Now, there's some back and forth on what MLS is wanting tied to that. There's been a report that if five teams have a drop of 25% in attendance, so that would automatically trigger a force majeure clause. But when you go back and look, there's been a very small number of teams in MLS history, less than double digits from what I can tell, that have had a 25% drop in attendance year to year. It hasn't happened in the last 2 years. There's only been three, four teams in the last 2 years that have had a double-digit drop in attendance. So that feels like a small issue here. I think all of the issues, whether it's the pay cut, whether it is the revenue sharing on a media rights deal, it feels like these are things that can get negotiated. The bluster right now is not going to help get that done, and hopefully both sides can resolve this.
It is our man, Jason Longshore, guys. Normally you'd get a chance to hear him once or twice a week on our radio station doing games with our man Mike Conte, but right now they're trying to get to an agreement so that we can get back to that. All right, so let's talk about our team briefly here and where we are with you know, knowing what we know about our team. It's kind of weird because we got off to that start last time we were partying in Nashville, and then all of a sudden, this thing happens. How good do you feel about the makeup of our team for a knockout tournament like this in Orlando, and then obviously moving forward with the season?
I feel like when you have a manager like Frank DeBoer, who will have, you know, about a month's time is what they're talking about in terms of training to prepare, that's going to help him a lot in figuring out what this team looks like without Joseph Martinez. You know, we were going to be doing that on the fly in the regular season early on, but now you're going to get a break, and now you're going to get almost like a short preseason to start working through that. Is it Adam John? You know, is it an alternative? Is it Pitty Martinez up top? What does it look like? You know, that's a big question mark. But I think beyond that stage, everybody else is healthy. You have a very strong roster with, as we've seen early in the season, a lot of players who can step up when called upon. In a short-term tournament, having depth like that is going to be very important because you're going to play, you know, two, three games in a week. You're going to need to dig a little bit deeper into that roster to get some key minutes. I think Atlanta has a roster that can handle it.
Jason Longshore, guys, with our best soccer coverage in town. Follow him at Longshoe. You can ask him questions about United and MLS and everything else that happens in soccer on the planet. We were talking to J.J. Williams last week. What a great kid, by the way. Great personality, great energy. We know that we've got you know, some new elements on this team because, again, we've got some height we didn't have last year. We've got some younger faces. And, again, you said it. We're going to have to lean on that depth without having one of the best players, you know, in the league and Joseph Martinez out there. But you still like us to continue the trajectory we saw in the small sample size?
Yeah, I do, because I like J.J. Williams' addition as well. He gives you a different element than Adam John. Those are two guys who could pair up if you need to play two up top, but you can use different lineups in different games. And I think without Joseph, Frank DeBoer is going to have to be a little creative in figuring out how to solve the problems of goal scoring. I loved where Pitty Martinez was early in the season. I thought he was looking very, very sharp in CONCACAF play and in early MLS play. You hope that he can continue that. You hope that this hasn't disrupted the rhythm. He can get that back. Ezequiel Barco mentioned him earlier. He's got a lot to prove. This is a big year for him, not because he's had a bad career here in Atlanta, but because he wants to make that next step. He's at that point in his career. He wants to play with a big club. He's got to show it on a regular basis and stay healthy. And there's a lot of guys who have a lot to prove this season, and that usually can create some really strong performances for a team.
Jason, we appreciate you as always, man, for jumping on and giving us the lowdown. We hope this thing gets worked out sooner than later, right? That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I hope, and looking at all the issues, I think they are all manageable, but you hope this doesn't get toxic like it appears some other negotiations in sports are getting right now. Major League Baseball, I think, is a prime example. You've got to work together like these two have for so long, so well. Got to get back to that and knock this out.
You think the agents, I know we got to go, but real quick, in about 30 seconds, the agents and the players do get it. I mean, I understand it's, you know, ownership versus players, but the MLS is in a great spot. The growth is there. The expansion franchise, you get a chance to really shine the way NASCAR has with nothing else going on. You can be the show if you get things going.
Yeah, 100%. I think the players get that. I think the agents get that. I think the owners get that. They all see the opportunity, and now it's just finding the numbers that make sense for everybody, because it's not what it was when they negotiated the CBA. So they've got to find a way to move forward together, most importantly.
Jason, take care. Be safe, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. You too.
All right, man. Stukes and Bell on a Monday. Again, live inside of our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia on radio.com. The app is out there for you to download. It's free. This news just coming down, Mike. Independent autopsy finds that George Floyd's death was a homicide caused by asphyxia due to neck and back compression that led to a lack of blood flow to the brain. I just retweeted that because people have always asked, well, did this really have anything to do with his death? The answer is yes. We got Guy Talk on the way, man.
Yes, sir. And again, we'll continue to give us the vibe of what happened and what's going on here in our city as a curfew extends tonight till 9 o'clock. We come back, though, on the lighter side. Carl, what Major League Baseball player, former ball player, his reputation is so bad that the judge said, you know what? You can't even think about defaming or libeling this guy. His rep is that bad. We'll explain.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes! Yes! Yeah, man. And again, guys, thanks to everybody. It was kind of surreal as we were watching everything sort of heat up on Friday, and still Carl out in the burbs, wherever guys were, sending those photos of like food grilling that looked good. We saw some more as part of our Dukes of Bell tailgate at home as we were trying to take our minds off. I know a lot of guys on Sunday what was going on in the country and here in Metro Atlanta, but we'll do it again on Friday, and we'll see hopefully where the weekend maybe is a little more mellower vibe. But by the way, in addition to everything else that's going on, Carl, in the world today, I got serious issues at home.
What's going on?
Got a crazy cat.
What's going on with the cat?
I don't know, man. You know, I don't know if it's like because we're home so much, you know, because like you and I have been working from home, and usually Becky and I, she's on the road or, you know, we travel. I don't know if the cat is sick of us or what, but, you know, my cat talks. Carl's been over here to the cat. So now it's like, no. It literally goes, no. So the cat comes up, pokes at me. You want a treat? No. It's like having a bratty kid. I don't know. I really do think we're going to need to get a dog to change up the vibe in this place. Got to show this cat what's what.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to get a yard because you're not going to go down 20-something floors to take the dog out.
I got a plan. I talked about this last week. I'm going to get a winch, and I'll put the dog in a harness and ratchet that sucker down because they're doing work on the outside of our building with ropes and everything. Be easy. Put the dog in a winch, drop him down to the street, takes a dump, hoist him back up. I think that's a pretty good system.
I will say this, and I do agree with you. You know, after all this time of being at home and in the house, this is as much as, you know, ever that I've been home this much. I mean, some of you have the luxury of obviously working from home, and it's great. We said it certainly has its perks, but I am really starting to understand why my pets run out of the house every time the damn front door opens. I get it. I'm starting to understand. Right. Doors open, go! You know, it's like you want to escape and you want to leave. So, man, I think pets are spoiled right now. And I'm going to tell you something. When things and if things do get back to normal at some point, when people go back to work on a full-time basis, Mike, pets are going to freak out. They are going to be freaked out.
Yeah, that was one of the things that happened over the weekend as we saw, obviously, you know, protests and in some cases became riots and looting and all that. But one of the things that it's like you forgot, at least I did, about the pandemic. I've been trying to get out there in the world and getting involved in things. And again, one thing, if you are going to be throwing rocks to try to, you know, take stuff from Gucci, to be wearing a mask, it is convenient, Carl, to have a pandemic when the cameras are on. But it wasn't it literally like you're like, oh, this weekend, we were out yesterday on Saturday, and it was like people were just like, mask, schmask. Now, I'm not telling people how to live their lives, but it kind of just put the events of Friday night kind of changed everything about what seemed more important. And people were out like, just wow, you know, and just kind of getting out in the world. And I know the mayor brought it up on Friday in the press conference. Like, oh, by the way, we still technically have a pandemic going on here, people.
Yeah, I love her and, you know, Police Chief Erica Shields. After they spoke, they went in the back and put their mask back on.
Yeah. So the mayor's back there with the mask. And then
with the mask.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. But, I mean, as long as you're not coughing directly or spitting on a reporter, right. I think we'll be okay. But anyway, we'll try to give you some lighter side. We've also got some reaction from the world of sports over the weekend's events. And as Carl said, the autopsy has just come out on the murder of George Floyd. And, again, anybody who's seen the video, it just kind of confirms what everyone expected. But more on what sports has to say. Real quick story I teased. There's a judge who has dismissed a defamation and libel suit against Ron Darling, the former Mets pitcher who now does Mets broadcasts on SNY, also part of the TBS baseball postseason. He talked about Lenny Dykstra, and Lenny Dykstra brought a lawsuit. Well, New York Supreme Court Judge Robert DeCalish dismissed the lawsuit. Dykstra upset about his former teammate in the book, 108 Stitches, Loose Threads, Ripping Yarns, and the Darndest Characters from My Time in the Game. Very long title, by the way, from the Yale man, Ron Darling. But anyway, the judge threw out Lenny Dykstra's lawsuit because Ron Darling talks about what a hot mess Lenny was and the drug use and everything else that was going on with that team. The judge in his decision says, basically, in a nutshell, Lenny's rep is so bad, based on papers submitted on this motion, prior to the publication of the book, Dykstra was infamous for being, among other things, racist, misogynist, anti-gay, as well as a sexual predator, drug abuser, a thief, and an embezzler. Further, Dykstra had a reputation largely due to his autobiography of being willing to do anything to benefit himself and his team, including using steroids and blackmailing umpires. So the umpire basically said, Dykstra's rep is so completely off the rails already. You know, it's basically the same defense that Mike Tyson's lawyer used against the young Miss Teen America. Remember Black America? Indiana? You know, Mike's rep was so bad you never should have been on a date with him. Remember that was the defense? That's basically what the judge said when he threw out Dykstra's lawsuit in New York.
Wow. That's crazy.
Remember, we had interaction with Lenny, what, about a month ago?
Yeah, he was on your Twitter feed, wasn't he?
Somebody somehow hipped him. I don't know how the conversation came up. I was direct messaging with Lenny, and I don't know if he was out of his gourd. He could not. I was like, give us your number, or we'll give you a number, and we'll call in. And that's when and it just didn't work, and I'm like, I give up. So, Lenny, he's hopefully got his head on straight, but yes, if you believe half the things that have been said about him over the years, he's a hot mess. All right, man, some positive stuff. You heard what Frank Reich had to say up in Indianapolis. A lot of NFL coaches. We've talked about Matt Ryan. We've talked about the vibe. People wanting to be positive, or at least say, look, guys, open your eyes. Here's what's going on. Frank Reich says our black community has bore the brunt of this for far too long. He spoke to Stephen Holder of The Athletic. He says, I believe each of us can make a difference if we're willing to grow personally, to your point earlier in the show. He also said that he and Chris Ballard addressed the players up there in Indianapolis about this. He said he felt like we couldn't be silent. We've talked about the responsibility. We have to make a difference. He also said that he was concerned at first about the physical risk for his players, but he said sometimes you have to take risks, as many Colts players were also involved in the peaceful protests in Indianapolis.
For so long, people have said that it didn't matter, that it's their problem. This gets back to my comment about silence. It's been ignored. That's their community. It's in another city. It happens all the time. This is different. And it's only different because I think it resonates and hits home because of the video and how graphic it is. I would tell you that, this is no different than Oscar Grant being killed in Oakland and put on YouTube, and people watched it and went, oh, wow, okay, that's terrible. We didn't react this way. But for whatever reason, it is sparking people. And so let's use this energy in a great way, man. And I agree with everything they're saying. You know, it has to matter, Mike, to everybody for there to be real change. And I think that's what people are starting to understand. It can matter to me, my family, my mother, father, brother, uncles. Great. But if it doesn't matter to you, and then when it affects you now, when you see people in the streets and you go, what's going on? Now you want to know what the hell's happening. So it's got to matter, and I think more people than ever, especially young people. That's the other thing we saw this weekend, right? It was a mixture of people out in the streets all across the country. There's a lot of young folk, And again, I don't want to paint the picture of all the bad things that were done, because there were certainly some bad things. But I think that's where this movement has to come from. You know, it's not going to come from 55-year-old guys, man. They have to care. They do. They have to care, too. Because more than likely they have some kind of influence, and people in positions of power have to care. But that's where the voice starts, and that's how you start to influence change through the process, the proper process.
So. And that's what we talked about earlier in the show. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, you come, maybe you don't, maybe your life, you never interact. That's why I always joke around whenever if I'm riding the railroad up in New York and I hear somebody popping off making a racist comment, I'm like, who's the black guy you know? The only black guys you know was watching the Knicks on TV or a Jets game. You know what I mean? I always cringe sometimes when I hear some of that stuff. And it can be with a northern accent, it can be with a southern accent. It doesn't matter. You got to get your head out of your ass at some point, okay? And again, you know, I know that some people, you know, they like just talk sports. It's not that day. I mean, we're going to talk sports. There are sports trying to get back to work. We're giving you the interaction now because there's guys that are saying some really smart things out there. Do you want to listen? Do you want to at least open your ear and see what they're saying? One of those guys, by the way, Lloyd Pierce. You'll hear him on the morning show later this week. NBCA, it's a National Basketball Coaches Association, pushing for an entire membership to get engaged on the issue. And Lloyd Pierce has been really involved at the forefront of it with Popovich, with other coaches. And again, I know some people don't like Pop's politics, but you got to give the guy the credit. At least he's not waffling. He's out there. He's letting you know exactly how he feels about where things are going.
Here's the thing about Pop. He's never been afraid to speak on it. He's never been silent. You may not like it. And that, you know what this is, Mike? Yeah, I'm going to tell you what the biggest issue we're facing when it comes to these kinds of things in our country. It's uncomfortable. But change doesn't come through comfort. It never has. If you're a history buff, you guys study, if you follow things, you know that's never how it happens. So the uncomfortableness of the conversations that need to be had, that's the start. So, yeah, you're right. It's not about whether I like a guy or not. I'm setting aside my political beliefs about what I believe is right and wrong and whether I agree with policy to say, speak on it, acknowledge it. Let people know that you think that ain't right so that then they can look at themselves and go, you know what? He's right. She's right. They right. That's not right. That's what has to happen.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, when we talk about this, I mean, Carl touched on it earlier, just mentioned it again. You know, whether you live, I mean, I live in the city. I'm in the middle of it, you know. Or if you live in the burbs, if you're in a gated community, you want to just go into your shell, and that's not my problem. Well, you know, then you're doing a disservice to your family, to your neighbors. I mean, like, I'm not telling you
that's what's
your life.
Going on. But that's what I'm saying.
That's the thing. I mean, look, and as we said, we don't want to get it twisted, okay? We've got some great people here that did the right kind of things, and they kind of brought, you know, we talked about how the thing devolved, and there were some elements here that are not Atlanta. But unfortunately, that became too much of the narrative. And then all that does is make people in the burbs go to the gun store on Monday, you know, and that's not what this is supposed to be about.
Hey, man, plenty more to get to. More guy talk on the way. And today's a big day for the Falcons. You're going, what are you talking about? We'll tell you. But when we come back, the latest in college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.